Welcome, Dr. Christopher Chapman. It is so good to have you here, and we have been looking forward to this visit for some time. How are you finding the CMU School of Music and the campus and the community so far?
Love it. It's I think the best decision I've ever made, and I love the students I get to work for, and the faculty that I get to work with, and the staff is amazing, and yeah. And I live a block away from campus, so I'm losing weight because I'm walking to school. It's great.
How did the whole process in the search, what was the timeline in getting you from prior destination, and where was that before your arrival this past summer here?
I spent 13 years at Oregon State University. Loved the students. I loved the faculty. I loved everything about it. But there was a calling to come home, and I grew up in the Midwest. And this gave me the opportunity to get back to my roots. And the second that I stepped on campus, which is a wonderful story because I arrived for my interview during the polar vortex. So it was 40 degrees below zero. And the
well, we know how to roll out the red carpet, don't we?
It was wonderful. And I knew everything that I needed to know about this campus because we had to delay the process until Saturday, really. And on Saturday morning at 9 a.m., all the students showed up in the ensemble to play. And I thought, well, that says everything I need to know about this place, is that everybody gave up their free time to be here on a Saturday morning to rehearse just to, you know, see how I was going to do. And I thought, I will accept this job if they offer. And they did. And it's been wonderful.
Fantastic. Now, the official duties, as we said, conducting, obviously, the Symphonic Wind Ensemble, what other groups, then, are you at the helm of, if that's the proper term, we would say? And then overall, what are the duties encompass in this title, Director of Bands?
Well, Director of Bands is usually the person that oversees the entire band program. And so that's my main job. I teach undergraduate conducting, graduate student conducting. I run the Symphonic Wind Ensemble, and I also have been given the Symphony Band, which is the third concert band on campus. And that's a real treat. And the kids aren't used to having the director of band standing in front of them. So they're a little bit, the title intimidates a bit, but it's getting a little bit easier each time. They're understanding that we have expectations of that third band as well. You know, we don't want them to not have an artistic experience. We want them to be able to breathe into their playing and have fun while doing it. And sometimes the director of bands can give that to me, you know.
The new director of bands, Dr. Christopher Chapman, our guest in this hour of Mosaic here on WCMU, and he will lead the Symphonic Wind Ensemble next Tuesday, the 29th, Staples Family Concert Hall, opening with a selection by Holst, a Fugal Overture, and also including music of Granger in the second half of the program, and other works that are of the newer compositions, and also will feature a fellow faculty member. So let's stay on that first half of the program and talk about the shocker piece, Regrets and Resolutions. What can you tell us about this?
Sure, it's really pretty. After I got hired, I reached out to Joanna Cohen-White, and I asked her if she wanted to play a solo in front of the wind ensemble, and she agreed, and we bounced ideas off of each other, and she actually found this piece that was originally in piano form with solo flute, but it was rearranged for the wind ensemble. And she said, I don't know how this sounds, and we couldn't find a recording of it out there anywhere, and so we took a shot at it, and it's beautiful. It is, you know how sometimes concerts have, like, meat and potatoes. Well, this is the sorbet at the end. It's really pretty. And the beginning is just, it's a reflection on the past life, you know. And Gary Shocker wrote just a transparently beautiful setting at the beginning. And then the middle section, it lilts right along. It's a faster tempo, and it's really pretty. But it forces the wind ensemble to play in a supportive role for the soloist, rather than being, you know, more of a soloist feature for themselves.
How do you find the students when you then give them something that is much newer, much more contemporary, and put that alongside something, as you say, kind of out of the meat and potatoes section of what they might find in the folders, a piece like The Holst. How do they kind of respond to both? One more enthusiastic than the other, or?
They love the new stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, this is their generation, and you're dealing in the world of living composers. So, you know, they're friends with some of these composers online, and so they can contact the composer. I don't ask them to contact the composers. I'll do that. But, you know, they know that if there's a question in the music, I can fire off an email to the composers,
right,
and it'll be done in a heartbeat. So they're excited to play new music. And even The Holst, a Fugue Overture, it was done by the orchestras but never transcribed for the bands. And my friend Bob Ponto from the University of Oregon, of all places, made this terrific transcription. And so that's not done by bands either. And so this whole concert is really the students experiencing a lot of newer repertoire for our medium.
And you'll conclude that first half of the concert with a symphony, but not a Beethoven, not a Mozart, not a Brahms. Tell us about this symphony number 4 titled Unforsaken.
Well, Kevin Walsick is a dear friend, and he is an American Bandmasters Association member, like myself, and we got a chance to chat, and he's one of my favorite composers. He understands our genre really well, and he knows how to write for the specific instruments. Percussion takes a much larger role, but not in the battery type, you know, hitting things percussion, but rather the mallet percussion.
Hmm.
And so it floats along a little bit more than other composers. And he went to the University of North Texas, and he understood how to write for the 1 o'clock band, the 1 o'clock jazz band.
Right, right.
So there's colors of jazz that are influenced in the piece, and yet still there's these beautiful melodic moments and harmonic moments that can be movie soundtrack-ish. But this piece was written for the Musashino Academy, and their conductor at the time was Ray Kramer, who was or is the director of bands emeritus from Indiana University, and a super sweet human being. And so those two collaborated on this. And it's so within the piece, there's these Japanese modes. There's about 4 of them. And they're based on the pentatonic scale, and but they have these half steps that move in and out. It's an extraordinary piece. The kids loved it right away because sonically it's something very different than The Holst, you know. And so we played the entire program in the first rehearsal, just ran everything down. And that was the piece that I got the most sense that they were really energized about. They love the colors.
And because it has that juxtaposition to The Holst, is that something that speaks to you when you're putting things on a program, not just to include this work, that work, and another piece, but the order in which you would choose to play them on any given program that you're putting together?
Yeah, I think the hardest part of my job is to program correctly. And yes, so I thought about the order. I thought about the exact pieces, and I threw out more pieces than I put in the program. So it's a constant process. It usually takes about 3 months. That's what I do over the summer, is mix and match pieces of music to find out the flow. So, you know.
So how did that work in the timeline then of the application and the whole interview process and then accepting the position? And because that was something that I wondered, not to disavow anybody in a predecessor or, you know, a rush job by you, but how you were able to get all that and then arrive on campus and have something in place. So this is your program. This is,
yes.
And so it's not something that, you know, had been pre-planned or pre-programmed even before you were here.
No. And in fact, I didn't want to look forward too much because my students at Oregon State meant a lot to me, and I didn't want to start looking forward to the next job before I left. And we were on the quarter system out there, so we weren't done until June 16th. So I didn't start looking at this program until maybe the end of June. And just emails to different folks and going online and really digesting the music and trying to figure out the order. was a process, but it was a quick process. I've not done the Symphony No. 4, but I have done a Fugal Overture by Holst, and I've done a couple of the pieces in the second half of the concert as well, in honor band situations and the like. So the order was not predetermined, but it does take a long time, and I hit the ground running. I got here, 2 months ago, and well, the middle of August is when I got here, and then marching band camp started the day I arrived on campus. So it's been a whirlwind, and yes, I'm tired, but I'm really looking forward to that first break.
Sounds good. Sounds wonderful. Dr. Christopher Chapman is the new director of bands for Central Michigan University School of Music. He will lead the Symphonic Wind Ensemble in concert next Tuesday, the 29th, Staples Family Concert Hall, concert time 7:30. And again, all the information about this and all of the School of Music events you can find at music.cmich.edu. Following intermission with the works of Holst, Schacher, and Walsiak, and then turning to the work of Jennifer Jolly and the Granger and two other newer pieces, let's begin post-intermission and a piece for a composer born as recently as 1981. Very new music.
Sickening, isn't it? I love Jennifer Jolly. Her music really speaks to me. This piece, Lightway, is it tries to depict the artwork in the Berlin airport. You know, the lights that, you know, you go down into a tunnel and, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden the lights follow you and all that. This piece depicts that and really can send you in a place that doesn't really feel comfortable, you know. And I think of this piece as a new music ensemble type piece that was written for a larger wind ensemble. And I got to tell you, I was in the Detroit airport last weekend on my way to Albuquerque, and they have that sort of display in their tunnel. Now, the thing that made it less disorienting was the fact that in Detroit, they were playing Motown music. So, but otherwise, I was imagining her music as I was going through that tunnel. And, you know, the blue lights that follow you, and they go just a little bit too fast for your walking speed. And then red lights pass you by and green lights. And it's just, sonically, she's depicted that in this piece. And it's the most non-band-like piece on the performance, for sure.
Do you see that then as something then that can be a regular offering of a wind ensemble as opposed to different instrumentation that we might find? Because when you say new music ensemble, and I'm thinking the New Music Symposium that we host here also at CMU, and but instrumentation configurations might be very, very different when you look at something that is very, very new in the way it's arranged, as opposed to the a more traditional instrumentation that you would find with this group of yours.
Agreed. And Jennifer Jolly has taken little snippets, little motifs of music, and then turned them into soloistic opportunities for our kids. And so you'll hear dotty 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 dotty, and then there's a long note that they finally all get to. And so even in the musician's mind, we're disoriented because we're going from soloist to ensemble, soloist back to ensemble. And it's very challenging to play this piece of music, but it sure does take the audience and us for a ride.
And then a return to something not necessarily the first piece that comes to mind when one thinks Granger, although the music is very, very accessible. And I see this as kind of another, again, juxtaposition of going very new to something more out of the traditional book.
Absolutely. We need to embrace our traditions and it still move the art form forward, but understand from where we came. And we've got Jim Batchelor conducting the Scotch Strathspey and Reel. And that's a tongue twister for me. I'm actually kind of proud that I actually got that out. And like any Granger piece, there's these wild colors that move in and around the melody. And the Strathspey part is a little bit slower, and it's in a 2-4 time, and it just kind of moves along. And then all of a sudden, the saxophone choir moves their sound forward and buries the melody and then re-exposes the melody. And it's that way until the reel. And then the reel, the woodwind choir, it gets to really shine right there because there's lots of 16th notes and they're just having a great old time playing that. And the piece is about what would you do with a drunken sailor? So that's the melody that winds its way through the whole piece. It's a lot of fun.
And then wondering what's going through the minds of the students as they're playing something like that. Oh,
wait, I know that piece. That's
right. Where do I know that piece from? How do I know that piece? Yes. College, yes. And then continuing with a piece titled Lament, Cheng Su Ko, I have that pronounced correctly. And again, born 1970, so a very contemporary piece of music. What can you offer about this composer and this piece?
It's Shostakovich meets Mahler for band. So this is a Japanese composer. I know his name is more on the Korean side of things, but he actually lives in Japan. And Lament starts as a large symphonic, bombastic, Shostakovich-ish celebration, and then goes immediately into this quiet, contemplative Mahlerian, I guess, mode where it hangs out for quite some time. And it's haunting and yet so beautiful. And it ends in a very joyous manner. So I there are no real program notes to this piece, not that I could see. I tried to translate, but that's embarrassing for me. So that's the whole piece in general. It is an ABA type format, but the center section is just gorgeous, and the kids are really understanding the soloistic part and how all of these motifs blend together. It's really been a fun process to put this piece together.
So you've mentioned the traditional pieces, the newer pieces, Shostakovich, Mahler, jazz, and reed sections and percussion sections. I would think, obviously, in a position like yours, there obviously you've got to have an acclimation to and a real feel for a lot of different things. But is there what then was the? If you had to go back to your own meat and potatoes roots, what drew you in, and what's always that comfort place to go back to? Is it a composer? Is it a style? Is it one particular recording? What does it for Dr. Chris Chapman?
Honestly, I came at this profession completely backwards. I was at Ohio State, and I was a jazz studies performance major. And then after Ohio State, I went to Chicago and I played for a living, jazz and whatever happened. But the moment that I decided to become a teacher was when I went from Chicago to Japan and I played at a really interesting amusement park. It was more of an educational music, amusement park. And the leader of the band had to come back to America to renew his visa. So he hands me the baton and says, "You took undergraduate conducting. Here's my baton. Learn Japanese. I'll be back in 2 weeks." And so I got to rehearse and conduct professional musicians for 2 weeks, and I had to learn enough Japanese to get by. Here's how okay, everybody, thanks for listening to this piece. Now we're going to play this piece. That's about all I knew. But when I moved back to Chicago, I was ready to go in the teaching profession.
That clicked then.
So when I program music, I think about the audience members for wind ensemble concerts. They're sometimes younger audience members, and they have, and they were all in their high school band. So they all think about, well, I was in jazz band. I was in the symphonic band in high school, and I've got all of these more modern experiences musically, so I try to represent what they're listening to as well in a performance. And sometimes it works, and I think in this case it did work.
And that concert will be this coming Tuesday, the 29th, 7:30 Staples Family Concert Hall. Dr. Christopher Chapman, the new director of bands at Central Michigan University in the School of Music, leading the Symphonic Wind Ensemble. And one final piece on that second half of the program, and transcription here by the same gentleman who has done the who did the arrangement of the Granger we spoke of earlier, and this piece of one Jose Pablo Moncoyo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Huapango, and it's known as the second national anthem of Mexico, and it is a fun romp and a great way to end the concert. Very technically challenging. It's in 6/8 form. It's a very dance-like style. And then right in the middle, he adds this very contemplative section. And it almost feels like the beginning and the end, you're at a dance hall. And then in the middle, it's 3 a.m. and you're walking away from the dance hall. And it's very quiet. And but there's still this melody that ripples through. And it's a fun way to end the concert. The kids love the piece, and I love the piece. I've never conducted it before, and it's just going to be terrific.
You enter into a position like this, and I'm sure that these transitions obviously are very, very common, but you're inheriting a group where there's a certain number of seniors, juniors, upperclassmen, and also some of these students that will now be with you for the next couple of years as they continue their studies. How does that relationship, how is that blended with those that have played under prior conductors to coming in as the new guy on the block, and then but also having some of those, you know, you're the first one up there on the podium as I'm here as a brand new freshman on campus. What is that dynamic like?
Well, I'm a traditionalist, so one of the first things that I did after I got the job was I called Jack Williamson, who now, he was the director of bands here for 40 years, and he now lives in Arizona. Hi, Jack, if you're listening, it's great to hear from you again. But I called him, and I said, Jack, I have one question for you. If you were the director of bands at CMU for the next 30 years, which direction would you take it? And he said, whichever direction you want it to go. And I thought, okay, then I will stand on the shoulders of Jack Williamson, who did a tremendous job building this program. And my student, I of all things, Jack left a box of batons in my office. And I found one that I absolutely loved. And that's the baton that I've been using. And I told my students, hey, look, I know some of you love Jack, and I do too. So let's just go ahead and build on that. And there's not been a single student who has said, well, that's the way we've done it differently in the past. No, they understood right away that I wasn't going to change any traditions. I'm not anti-tradition. We're just going to continue the process moving forward. And for the younger students, I'm all they know. So, you know, that's fine. But I feel like in rehearsal and in the classroom, it feels like I've been here for 20 years. Everybody's been so welcoming, and it's very natural. And it's great being home because, you know, these kids are just like the kids that I grew up with.
Right,
so it's
right.
A lot of, it's really fascinating for me to feel so at home that even on the first rehearsal, we were getting stuff done that took years to develop at Oregon State.
Well, students that we've had come through our building and in other references we've had with faculty and so forth, they have spoken very highly of you, and so it's been a very smooth transition and assimilation into being a part of the CMU family, and a real pleasure to have you here and now to get this first concert underway. I assume, because I do the public affairs programs for television, I talk to, you know, freshman lawmakers, and they say, well, the first 2 years at the Capitol, you're just trying to figure out where the water fountain and the bathroom is. I assume you've had enough time to do that. And if you showed up on campus of the polar vortex, we set the bar low enough. I assume that things have kind of now at least improved over time, and it's maybe a comfortable fit by this point.
It's amazing. It's been amazing. The students are terrific. the faculty that I get to work with are outstanding. Those applied teachers can really play and they can really teach. And, you know, and our administrative team is terrific too. And it all starts from them. And my direct colleague, Jim Batchelor, and I, it's like, it almost feels like we've been working together for 40 years. So he's been very helpful, and I love the man. So it's great fun.
Dr. Christopher Chapman is the new director of bands for Central Michigan University's School of Music, and he leads his first concert with the Symphonic Wind Ensemble Tuesday, October the 29th, 7:30, Staples Family Concert Hall. And all the information is at music.cmich.edu. Again, welcome. Don't be a stranger. It's, well, in terms of the navigation, we're just up the road from where you are, so that's not a tough one to figure out. And best of luck with the concert and moving forward. Real pleasure to have you here.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.